path of the righteous man is beset on all sides by the iniquities of the selfish and the tyranny of evil men. Blessed is he who, in the name of charity and goodwill, shepherds the weak through the valley of darkness. For he is truly his brother's keeper and finder of lost children. And I will strike down upon thee with great vengeance and furious anger those who attempt to poison and destroy my brothers. And you will know my name is the Lord when I lay my vengeance upon thee. Ladies and gentlemen, the Church of Laszlo has begun.
Yo!
Yo!
How are you, man?
I'm fantastic. How are you?
I've never been better.
Good. Glad to hear it. Everyone's good. Everyone in your life is good.
I guess.
Nothing interesting going on.
Yeah. Some things go on.
Well, you know, I'm sure everybody has something going on that maybe not quite like what you have going on, but I'm sure everyone has something going on in their life day to day. No one's life is totally boring. No one's life is totally predictable.
Yeah.
Yours is a little less predictable than
I feel like I gotta tell the story now at some point.
Yeah, it's
and maybe I'm wrong, you know, maybe people could point out. Twitch.tv/Church of Laszlo. Maybe I, you know, whatever.
I don't think you're wrong, but of course I would say that, right? Because I'm on quote unquote your side, so but it's not even about that. I don't think it has anything to do with that. I just think
awkward,
it's just an
weird,
just an awkward moment in life.
Right.
You know? And those happen and you try to avoid them. If you're me, you try really hard to avoid them at all costs. And, in your situation, you also try and be nice to people.
I try to.
And so sometimes that can lead to these situations.
I try to, but just uncomfortable.
Yeah, it is. But
I did give you the real Reader's Digest version. You like that?
Yeah.
Okay, Boomer. My ex...
Okay, Boomer, because he said Reader's Digest?
Yeah.
I get it. Okay.
My ex had cats, and apparently she had to move.
Yeah.
And she couldn't keep the cats, and she was like, you know, can you keep the cats for me? I'm like, no. I don't want more cats. Like, I don't want more cats. I have a cat, and my cat is not even your cat's fault. My cat's an asshole. Mm-hmm. Like, we had two cats at one point, and my cat ran them off. And I ended up letting that cat move in with the neighbor. Because my cat would not let that cat, they're outdoor cats, that cat would try to come up the back steps.
Yeah.
And my cat would sit on top of the steps and fight him back down into the yard.
Okay.
Yeah, back into the yard. And these neighbor people, they were like, it's your cat, the black cat, he comes to our back door all the time.
Yeah.
And, you know, we fed him and he's super nice. I'm like, yeah, he's a super nice cat. He really was. And I'm like, we just keep feeding. And I told him the story. And then they're like, okay, well, he can come in here. And I'm like, okay. And then after like 6 months, they were like, hey, we're moving. And we really like the cat. I'm like, perfect.
Great.
Take the cat because my cat won't let him in.
Yeah, perfect. Works out.
So anyways, I'm like, no, I don't want cats. But of course, after a while, she's like, you know, it's only going to be 2 days or whatever.
Yeah.
I'm like, all right, well, they can stay in the garage. I have a heated garage. I have furniture in there. I have a TV. Whatever. Fine. If it's 2 days, what's the big deal, right?
Yeah. It's like having a like a finished basement, but also you can say, okay, well, it's partitioned, so if the cats don't get along or whatever
else,
they've got this separate area.
I'll just keep that door closed, and my cat can't go in there.
Yeah.
It's fine.
So... and maybe, you know what, maybe we could just say this and leave this on a tease here, and then you can tell the rest of the story in a second. But the 2 days turned into how long?
She dropped him off in June.
Okay. And as of yesterday,
June?
They were...
June. Yeah.
And as of yesterday, they were still at your house, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I've known about this, and you know, but I don't live with them, so every day that Laszlo brings it up, you're like, well, under those cats, I'm like, oh, right, the cats.
Yeah.
I just kind of, I forget, because it has been a while, but when you said June, I was like, wow, yeah, I mean, that's definitely longer than a couple days.
Yeah.
But the boys, at least one of the boys, I think the boys like the cats, right? At least
well,
one of them
Well, the older
must.
One likes the cat, the younger one is like, but here's the other thing, and then I'll tell the rest of the story, but... her two cats are not like friendly cats.
Yeah, they're not lap cats.
They're not lap cats. Like if you go by them, they just run away from you. They don't want to be around people. I've never really seen cats like that, but you know, They were a little bit friendlier to my oldest son. Mm-hmm. He would go out in the garage and watch TV, and I'd see them hang out a little bit. But, you know, my younger son, I don't, you know, I think he was like, yeah, whatever, I don't care about these cats. They don't like me, I don't like them, whatever.
You made it sound like they just scattered like roaches and turned the lights on.
All the time. Like, yeah. And they would just hide.
Yeah.
And even I even got to one point where I just started leaving the door open. I mean, it got to be, you know, 10 days or whatever. I'm like, well, I can't have the cats.
I don't want
to
leave them there.
In the garage. I don't know if they'll become feral cats. I don't know. Like, right. So I just leave the door open. And then sometimes they would start to come up, and then they'd just hiss and attack my old cat.
Yeah.
So I was like, all right, well, we can't, like,
it's his house.
Right.
Yeah.
What do I do? So I tried leaving the door open, and then after a while, I left the door open, and they wouldn't even... Yeah, they wouldn't come
up. No, we're staying out here.
And then my older cat would just go down there and take his big fat ass down there and eat their food.
Right.
And then because he has food upstairs, but I think he's like, hey, guys, you know there's food down here, too? Right. Like, we can eat it all.
I can't believe this. This is great. I was eating nothing but treats and 6 bowls of food. Now I get 2 more bowls of food a day.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, he just got fatter and fatter and just kept going
and
down
the other cats are starving. It's good to come inside. So you partitioned them off. You figured out this isn't going to work insofar as letting them integrate into the home. And
right.
That was in June.
Yeah.
Fast forward to this week. The cats are getting picked up.
Yes. The cats are getting picked up last night.
And you will tell that story here in a second.
More from the pulpit coming up. The Church of Laszlo.
Preach, brother!
On 98.9 The Rock.
So you got this cat story told coming up, and I was thinking about it. There's something about you and cat stories, or maybe it's us, but I mean, you had a really great cat story that's so good, I think it's been told twice over the years about the passing of a beloved cat and how you handled that situation.
The captain.
Yeah, it involved us. Fight with your ex, right?
Yeah.
A disagreement, certainly, with your ex.
I put it in a trash can when it died.
Yeah.
I didn't know what else to do with it.
Right. And the kids were young.
It wasn't sick.
It was dead. It was dead. No, you didn't take a sick cat and wrap it up in a trash bag. And
no. I want people to know, though. Like,
yeah, it was
I'm
dead.
Trying to think, I've always had cats my whole life, but if they got sick and my dad would take them to the vet and be like, this is a sick cat, and then they put it down. I've never just had a cat die under the couch.
Right. This cat was dead, full rigor
full
mortis,
dead,
the whole thing.
Hard.
Yeah. Yeah, it was dead.
Gross,
there's no like,
man.
Oh, maybe like, he'll make it make
thought
it
you were
come
supposed
back.
To go out and wander in the woods and not come back. Like, what are you doing dying under the ottoman? Like, Jesus.
It's actually, I mean, I think a lot of pet owners hope that their pet, I shouldn't speak for a lot of pet owners. I've always thought it would be nice if, like, I wish that my dog had died at home. Like, I kept thinking every morning I woke up when she got old, I'd look over at her bed and see if she was still breathing. Every morning. It's like when you look at a clock and it looks like it's not moving for a second.
Right.
I'd look at her and go, she's dead. And then I'd see her stomach start breathing. I'm like, oh, she's still alive. But part of me kind of hoped that she would pass peacefully so I wouldn't have to take her to the vet and stick a needle in her. Not because of the money or anything like that. Although, I mean, that's part of it. But, but because you don't want to have to be the one to make that decision. You want nature to make that decision.
Yeah, but you also don't want to just find a dead cat. It's gross,
I found one. I mean, my cat... I mean, Milo, we had to put down.
I had to pull it under the couch with a broom.
Yeah.
It just slid like a hockey puck.
Yeah, being under the furniture, that sounds tough.
Like, my kids keep looking at it. Like, maybe it's alive. I'm like, that thing, there's a lot of things, but it ain't.
Right.
I promise you, it ain't
having
alive.
Little kids is a whole new thing. Like, I had
then they're crying. Like, oh, that whole story, man.
Yeah, that's
they're
bad.
They're crying. They don't want to go to school. And then I finally sit down and do a... You know, let's all remember the good times thing, right?
Yeah.
Like, I'm trying to, you know, Bob Marley it here, right? My God.
Right. Focus on the positive.
And then, you know, they'd be like, okay, and the big tears and the crying. And
yeah.
I think we had told, you know, them that their parents were getting a divorce, like, you know, 3 weeks
horrible
earlier.
Timing.
Like, my God.
Horrible timing.
This can't go any worse. And then finally it was like, all right. Let's go to school. And then the little one's like, I think he's still alive.
Let's go check on it again. I think he's going to make a comeback.
I'm like, all right, I got to get this thing out of the house.
Yes.
Or else we're just going to keep doing
this. Looking at it. Right. And
so
they're curious. They're kids.
Yeah.
You know, it's death. It's
and they're still like, well, I think they were still like, he's alive.
Of course.
You know, they don't want to believe it. He's alive.
Let's.
Kind of like me and my dad.
Right.
No, he died, and I'm doing the same thing. Like, he just lives in Florida. I don't know.
Yep, I do.
Glad he made that hurricane. Like, I
haven't seen him
in a while. I just don't call him. Crazy.
I haven't seen him or talked to him in a while. Exactly. Because you can't really deal with it.
And that's the thing. They didn't want to deal with it.
Yeah. It's normal. When my cat died, when I found my cat in the basement, I went down there. It was Christmas Eve.
Mm.
And I went down there, and I came upstairs, and I told Brooke, I said, Maddie died. And now, Brooke's not really a cat person.
Mm.
And her and Maddie weren't, like, super close. I mean, she's not anti-cat. She'll tell you she's not a cat person. And
I think if you had to rate, like, you know, okay, how much do you love each one of the animals in this house?
Sure.
No offense, but I think Maddie was at the bottom of that poll for her. And so I said, you know, Maddie died. And, of course, it's immediately, what? And, you know, she's upset. And I'm like, yeah, I wrapped her up. She was in the basement. And she's like, what'd you do? And I was like, I'm taking care of it. And I knew that she knew that I wasn't taking care of it the way that she would hope that I would take care of it. But she also knew not to ask too many questions. But she did ask me again later. She's like, so what's happening with Maddie? What did you do? And I said, I took care of it. And she's like, and I could tell she wouldn't ask further questions, but she didn't. But just so happened, because it was Christmas Eve, it was like 10 degrees out. It was freezing. I took my cat, wrapped her in blankets, put her in a shopping bag, wrapped it all up, and I put her in my toolbox out in the garage because it's freezing out there. And I thought, she'll stay frozen. And then, you know, I can dispose of her later, and that's what I did. But, you know, I'm going to take a dead cat to the vet. You take a dead animal to the vet and then pay the money.
I got to get this cat out of the house. I know we're running late on time here, but I'm like, I got to get this cat out of the house. The kids are freaking out. They're in the other room. I'm like, all right, hey, guys, go upstairs, get ready for school, right? All the crying's done, you're still going to school. They go upstairs, I pull a broom out, grab the cat, put it in a trash bag and throw it in the garbage.
Disappeared. Taken care of.
I can't have this cat in here or else we're never going to get through this day.
Right.
And then, thinking I'm a good dad, I call. Now, this isn't a story that happened yesterday. This is a while ago. But then, thinking I'm a good dad, I call the school.
Yeah.
The social worker, and I say, hey.
Heads up.
Heads up. Boy's cat died today. And they're like, oh, my God, I'm so sorry, blah, 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 blah. And I'm talking to them. You know, we got books for them to read, and, you know, I'll check on them and make sure they're okay. The boys were both in the same elementary school at the time, and then she's like, oh, hold on a second. And then she leaves, and she comes back on the phone. She's like, did your ex-wife know that the cat died? And I was like, no, I haven't had a chance to call her yet. And she's like, oh, because she just called about something else, and I said, I'm very sorry about your cat.
God.
I was like, you got to be kidding
so
me.
So bad.
You got to be kidding me.
She wasn't your ex at the time. I think you were married, right?
Well, we had been divorced. Still living there. I wouldn't leave.
Oh, okay. I didn't know it was that close to that. So now we fast forward to this week, the new cat story.
Well, of course, then she calls me like, where's the cat? I'm like, I took care of it. She's like, where's the cat? I'm like, I took care of it. She's screaming at me, where's the cat? And finally, it's like, it's in the goddamn garbage.
Yeah.
She deserved more than
she
that.
Knew.
You know?
She knew. She knew the cat was in the trash.
Full fast, 9 months later, she gets the cat. I get the cat out of the garage. Her and her friends come over. You know, they all look at me like I killed the cat.
Right.
I didn't kill the cat. And it was 10 degrees outside. Like you said, I can't bury it. I got to get the cat out of the house. Then, you know, here we are. They take the cat. They get it cremated. They do all this stuff. For years, it's sitting in a tub in my kitchen. I don't know what it is. You're over one night, and you're like, hey, you got kratom.
Yeah.
Let's have some. And I look at it, and you're like, oh, this isn't kratom. It's a dead animal.
Yeah.
I was like, this thing has been in the cupboard for 2 years.
Maybe I left it over there. I didn't know. So now you get asked to watch the cats for a couple days.
Yeah.
And that brings us to where we are today. Yeah, no,
I'm just kidding. I did not.
Well, you'll tell us next.
The Church of Laszlo. The Church of Laszlo. On 98.9 The Rock.
We are now, you've been watching these cats. Your ex was moving, said, hey, I'm moving. Can you watch the cats for me for a couple of days? This was in June. You said yes. And the cats have been at your house since then. And the cats have been scared to come into the house. You have a cat.
And I would say for people just, you know, I know there's plenty of people who are divorced. And I know Snowcone has a baby mama. And they get along good, right? You guys get along good.
Absolutely.
Yeah. We don't have that relationship. We don't get along well. You know, we try to, if we're at a baseball game together with the kids, we fake it. But that, you know, that's it. Like, there's no love loss here.
No, it's pretty clear why you got divorced.
Right.
And, yeah.
It is what it is.
I'll agree with that. Third-party perspective, I'll agree with that.
Right.
You guys don't get along.
We do not get along. And, you know, and it makes me feel good because I, you know, sometimes people will say, people that I know who are friends at baseball games or whatever, they will mention, you know, oh, well, you know, and I'm like, oh, like maybe like, you, oh, you two could come over.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, we don't get along like that.
Right.
And I've had women and men both say, like, you know what, congratulations, because you guys fake it at baseball pretty good. I'm like, we do? Because we don't sit next to each other or anything. But,
but you talk after the games and stuff sometimes. No, it does look like you guys are cordial.
Stand next to the kids together.
Yeah, it looks like you're cordial.
Right.
From what I've seen, but
we try. I would say we both try. You know, and it can't be easy for her, and it can't be easy for me. Well, I know it isn't easy for me, and I believe it's probably harder for her.
But it doesn't mean that you don't ever do nice things for another, as in this instance where you're like, I'll watch the cats. You didn't want to do it.
No.
But you said you'd do it.
It was a nice thing.
It was a nice thing.
Absolutely. But in the end, it was probably more for the boys.
Sure.
You know, to be honest.
Regardless. Yeah. Still a nice thing.
But
a nice thing for them, a nice thing.
And a nice thing for the cats. Like, I'm like, well, I don't want these cats to just die. I don't know what happens to cats.
Right. They go to the pound or whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
All right, it's fine.
Yeah. But they end up.
And it was only going to be a couple days. Remember that. If it would have been like, you're going to have them for 6 months, I'd be like, no.
Right.
No.
Right. Of course. But.
And one of the reasons why is because, you know, they're not allowed to go outside. They're not outdoor cats.
Yeah, which sucks.
Which all my cats are outdoor cats. I'm like, you know, when I first get them, I'm like, oh, you have to live here for 3 days now. Here's the back door.
Me too.
Go figure it out. Because you know, I don't want to change the cat box that much.
Right.
So here's how you get out. Here, it's a little broken screen. Eisenman broke it. And you can learn to go through it.
And they scratch the furniture less. And I don't know.
Of course.
I prefer it. And they seem
happier. Now he's older, he doesn't go out anymore. But
that's how my cats were. When they got older, they stayed in. I'm like, damn it. I have to clean the litter box all the time.
You got to change it all the time.
Yeah. So you got the two extra cats. It's supposed to be there a couple days. Every day, I would say, not every day, but every so often, we'd be at work, and I'd come in and I'd say hi to Lazo before we go on the air, and he'd say, I'd ask about the cats, or he'd say, I still got the cats.
Yeah.
I'm like, you still got the cats, huh? And, you know, there's been a few conversations that we've had where I've been like, I think you may live with those cats now. Like, you've
kind of come to grips with it, and like, but to be honest with you, after a while, I wouldn't have been upset about it. Like, I didn't hold who adopted those cats against the cats, right?
Right.
Like, but the fact that they wouldn't come upstairs, the fact that they attacked my cat, the fact, you know what I mean? It was like, this isn't working.
Right.
Like, then, you know, whatever.
This hasn't been great.
But it has been horrible. They just stay in the garage, so what, you know. I just told my oldest, like, you got to change your cat box and feed them.
Yeah.
I told both of them, and the youngest was like, open up the garage door. I do not like those cats.
Right. He's like, let them go. Oldest has been taking care of them.
He has, and he was sad yesterday.
Yeah.
But anyway, so my ex texts me and says, hey, good news. You know, she's staying with friends somewhere or something, and was like, you know, I can come get the cats.
Yeah.
I'm like, all right, great. So I go home. I had planned on, you know, cooking out on the grill, and you know, people may think this is weird, but I keep my grill in the driveway, and I open up both of my garage doors, and I have, like, a TV, a couch in there. It's like, you know, a man cave with big, huge doors. And inside, there's a batting cage, and I like it. So I'll cook it out there, and then, you know, we'll eat and watch baseball. That was my plan last night, right?
Yeah. And you knew she was coming over.
Yeah. So I was like, that's even easier. You know, I'll leave the garage door open. Boom. Easy. So, anyway, she gets there. I guess, you know, the long, short story of it is the cats won't come out of this little storage area.
Like a hiding space, basically.
Yeah, they got like a hiding space. So she gets there at 6:30 and says, you know, hey, can we close the garage doors so that the cats come out? I'm like, all right. So we go inside. We eat dinner inside, right? Okay. Mm-hmm. She's out there with the cats. 6:30, 7:30. 8:30.
I get a text at 10 o'clock, Snowcone. I got a text at 10 o'clock from Laszlo.
Okay, hold on. You guys are eating dinner. She's in the garage.
Mm-hmm.
This is around 6:30.
Yeah.
After you finish dinner, where do you and the boys go?
The boys go down and hang out with their mom because they don't see her all that often.
Sure.
And they're watching baseball. I stay up
inside,
in the living room and watch, but, you know, give them time alone with their mom.
For sure. Okay. And so the 7:30, 8:30, they're still down there with her hanging out?
Well, the youngest one comes in around 8 o'clock. He's like, I'm going to bed. I'm tired.
Okay.
I'm like, all right, good night. The older one's down there with his mom.
Okay.
After, you know, I don't know, around 9:30, the older one comes in. And he's like, yeah, we don't have the cats yet, so.
Don't what? Have the cats yet. They're in the house.
No. I thought they found them, like, at 7.
No.
So then he's like, you know, I'm going to go to bed. He's got school in the morning. I'm like, all right. So now, both my kids are asleep. I'm in the living room, and my ex-wife is in the garage. I'm like, this could not be any more uncomfortable.
It's such a weird text.
Like, I don't want you to be here. Like, I don't want you to be here.
Well, right, and if you want to go to bed.
Right.
You know, the idea of just like, okay, well, I'm going to bed. Good night.
Right.
You know, make sure if you need something. Yeah. I mean, what do you say in that situation? And this, we're talking, that's a long time. I mean, if it took. If you told me it took half an hour to get the cats, you'd be like, Jesus, that sucks. You know, right. They had to wrangle those
midnight.
Cats.
Midnight.
Midnight?
Midnight.
No.
Midnight.
No.
Eventually, I was like, I'm going to bed. She's like, okay. I'm like,
is she trying to get them
the
whole time?
She's got one cat. And the other one won't come out
for a long time, right?
They got one around 9:30, I guess.
And she can see the one that won't come out,
but she can't see it.
Can't see it.
But so it's got like you know,
knows where it's at.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Knows the area where it is and could go get it. I think. I mean,
I would think.
I'm just thinking about what that looks like.
Well, she
like
said
in my
that
mind.
She read to not chase them.
Okay.
Because it was stressful.
Okay.
And she said that me asking, you know, how long she's going to be here was stressful to her and that the cats can feel it.
Oh, the cats picking up on the stress.
No.
And that they probably would come out earlier.
That
and
did
that
not
had she known that I was going to cook out on the grill, she would have picked another day because that probably, you know, made them stay.
Added to the stress.
Yeah.
So it was your fault. Okay. I just had a feeling that it would be. But
sure.
Okay. So did the cat get
Finally, I was like,
up?
I'm going to bed. Why don't you just take one of the cats with you? Take the one you got.
Yeah, we'll try again.
And then she's like, well, I'm not going to separate them. And in my head, I'm like,
you are.
So I was like, all right, well, you know what? It's still time for me to go to bed. I got to take these kids to school in the morning.
Yeah.
Just leave them both here.
Yeah, leave them. What's another couple days?
Whatever.
Right.
Leave them both here.
5 months, whatever.
Right. All right. We'll try again some other day. And then she was like, no, I don't ever want to come back here. And I'm like, all right.
Okay. What did you do wrong? That's what I don't understand. What did you do? I don't want to come back here. I'm not trying to make this place inhospitable. I'm just pointing out it's been a long time.
Right.
How long does one
bed.
Wait? Right. Right. Yeah. So, but she does get it?
Well, eventually,
or did you just
go
to bed and wake up and they're gone?
No, so I was like, eventually, you know.
I could not sleep like that, I don't think. I couldn't go to sleep like that.
I was like, you know, all right, you know. But basically, she just told me she's not leaving until she gets both the cats. And then I'm like, all right, I don't want to start a big fight here. There's, you know, there's kids here,
right,
whatever. Who cares? You're in the garage, whatever. Just weird, uncomfortable, and unnecessary. But, so I'm like, all right, so I guess I went to bed around 11 and went just laid down. And then I heard the garage door open.
Okay.
I heard it, that means she went out the garage. So I just ran down behind her, locked the garage because, you know, there's no cats. I wasn't locking her out. I was like, all right, boom.
She's
cats
gone.
Are out. She's gone.
So you went to
she's
bed.
She's calling an
she
Uber.
Gone. Yeah.
Good. It's over. So that was, you know,
okay.
My night last night.
Yeah, I didn't understand at all. I was so confused because I knew that she was coming to get the cats. You told me that when you left work, you told me earlier in the day that she said she was coming to get them. And then you told me when you left work that she was going to meet you at the house, that she was going to come over shortly after you got home.
Yeah.
So I knew she was coming. When I got that text last night at 10:30, whenever it was, I'd have to go back and look. I was so confused. I thought at first, like, oh, she was really late coming over to the house. Then when you said, like, no, she's been here, she can't get one of them, I didn't know what to say.
And I don't
to
want
you.
To start a
I didn't
fight,
know what
so
to say to
there,
you.
But in my head, I'm like, just go in that storage area. You got two teenage boys. Have them clean out the whole storage area. Take them out and grab that cat, put it in a thing, grab it by the scruff of its neck, throw it in a container, and go.
Yeah.
Like, it's not that hard.
Right.
Like, why do we got it? What are we doing here?
It can be hard, not 5 hours
Not
hard.
5 hours, right.
Right, yeah.
Just like
it's a garage.
Know.
It's
right.
20 by 20.
They're not running the whole house.
Right.
They're in this one room.
You know where it is.
And they're hard to catch. I get it.
Yeah.
But you're in one room and it.
But they're out. They're out of the house.
No more cats.
You've got your man cave area back. You don't have to worry about the cats getting out.
Uh-uh,
you don't have to
because my cat can just go outside. He comes out there with us.
Good.
He doesn't really. He just lays on the garage floor with us. But
yeah. I think it was very nice of you up until you made things difficult yesterday. But I think besides that, you know, up to that point, I think you were doing pretty good. And it was pretty nice of you to...
But then I ruined it in the end.
You did ruin it. But,
well,
you know,
you do ruin everything. Right?
It is
That's
true.
That's true.
Wasn't she the one that started that?
Well, yeah, she said that when I asked her to marry me.
Right.
Yeah.
You ruin everything.
And my ex said it about me. So I was like, hey, you know what? My wife just said, you know, at the time, wife just said, what? And I was like, she said, you ruin everything. And I was like, do we ruin everything for people? And he's like, I don't know, but that's what we're being told. And I was at the grocery store, and I like looked up at my ex, and I don't know what I said to her. Probably like, hurry your fat ass up. No, I don't know. I don't know what I said to her. I think I just said, like, let's go, right? And she said, shut up. you ruin everything. And I was like, oh, my God, that cuts deep. Like, I do? How do you like me if I ruin everything?
Yeah.
I knew then this probably isn't going to work. But we ended up getting married anyway and waiting. You know, I knew then it wouldn't work, but I went ahead, went through all the steps, marriage.
I put the ring
just
in
to make sure.
I put the ring in her stocking, and we were flying out the next day to go to Detroit. And she's like, I want to go to Best Buy to buy my brother a gift. And I was like, all right, look in the stockings. So let's open up our stockings. And she's like, I don't want to open up our stockings. I got to get to Best Buy. And I'm like, all right, but let's just open up a couple presents each, open up the stockings that way. And she's like, I don't want to open the stockings. I'm like, all right, but maybe we could just open, like, you know, we could both just open one. And she just goes, my God, you ruin everything. And right as she said, she goes, wait. And I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
And she's like, really? And I'm like, yeah.
Good job.
And then she went over there, and I was like, oh.
And this is how it starts.
Yeah. And we're off. And we're off.
The Church of Laszlo. The Church of Laszlo on 98.9 The Rock. The Rock. The Rock.
Yo!
Yo!
What's going on, Ken?
We're going to do the news.
All right.
Coming up next.
Perfect.
Did you guys watch the game last night?
Which one?
Well, the football game. Did you watch the football game last night?
I watched the end of it because I watch baseball.
A lot of talk about that football game
baseball
today.
Baseball time.
Yeah, I figured that's what you'd be watching. The football game was close, but it seems like the reason it's being talked about so much today is the officiating. There's just story after story after story.
There were some weird calls.
Well, I didn't watch the game. I saw highlights afterwards. Before. I wasn't even thinking about it. I knew that Aaron Rodgers was playing, and I just kind of forgot. You texted me, and when I saw your text, by then the game was almost over.
Man, that pass he threw was one of the best passes I've ever seen in my life.
But
which one? Who?
Are you talking about the Hail Mary or the...
No, Rodgers.
Oh, the one where
pass
caught him in stride?
He throws it downfield, and like... There's no way this guy could catch the ball.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
When the linebacker didn't turn his head back.
And after he catches it, he turns back. That was probably a lot of luck there or whatever, but...
Right, it's a good throw.
That was a damn good throw.
It's a good throw. You know, you think it's a lot of luck, but I've heard, you know, coaches coach that when the linebacker turns his head, that's when you let it go. So, okay. I mean, that is a coached thing. Now, granted, I don't know if he could hit it in that small of a window.
Right.
10 out of 10 times, but that was a hell of a pass.
That's what I think the luck was.
Because that linebacker was on it. He was right where he needed to be.
His arms and his hip.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I think the luck was. Like, that was crazy. Yeah.
No. Well, we're talking about the Jets, right?
Yeah, that was Aaron Rodgers.
Okay, because the Josh Allen throw, he threw it to the running back.
Yeah.
And when he was in his own end zone and came sprinting, I mean, that was Mahomes-esque.
Those guys are what we think they are.
Yeah.
Which is, look, you look great, you make all these crazy plays, and then I'm watching and Josh Allen just, you know, runs to the right and craps his pants and throws the ball. Now, he got away with it.
They're making a lot of excuses.
That is going to happen. I promise you, with both those quarterbacks, it's going to happen. They look great, and then they both will end up on a cold field losing to the Chiefs or whoever they got to play.
Well, there's news today about the officiating, because I guess that was an issue, and there's been a lot of talk about it, which I'll explain. Also, meteorologists, like, just quit saying you're going to kill meteorologists, or don't. I don't know. It's a free country, but meteorologists would like you to stop threatening their lives.
Although the Jets, you see, they got Devontae Adams.
I didn't see that.
They did, and then
the Bills got
Amari
after
Cooper.
Last night with everything that happened.
Yeah.
The Jets got Devontae Adams, and the Bills got Amari Cooper. I think
okay
from the Browns, so they both made big trades the next day.
Yep. I didn't see that at all. I just saw the stuff about the officiating, and it was like literally every other story.
The last hour, I think those.
Oh, and Rodgers threw his receiver under the bus, so. You know, he's just doing more
Aaron Rodgers stuff. Rodgers stuff. We'll do the news coming up.
The Church of Laszlo. The Church of Laszlo. On 98.9 The Rock. KQRC Leavenworth, Kansas City's rock station. Always live on the Free Odyssey app.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
It's time to doom scroll.
You don't know. Could kill you.
Murder hornets.
Corpies infected monkeys.
The only news that matters with the most trusted name in the business. This is Headlines with Slim Fast on the Church of Laszlo.
Yo. Okay, so we'll get this out of the way. We were talking about Monday Night Football last night. The Jets and the Bills was a close game. I didn't watch it. Snowcone did, so... You know, we rely on Snowcone to watch football for us and keep us up to speed on what's going on in the NFL. Because Laszlo and myself, we can't be bothered. But Snowcone, he watched the game last night, and so you may be aware of
the second half.
Well, I woke up to this just like I go to several places for news, and one of the things I do when I first wake up is just scroll through our news. And you know, there's sports mixed in there, but this morning it was like Monday Night Football story, then a regular news story, then a Monday Night Football story, then and all of these Monday Night Football stories.
Pretty decent game, but I don't know what the major stories.
It was about the officiating, and I just keep seeing different stories. So Warren Sharp, he works for Fox Sports. I didn't know who he was. Are you familiar with him, Warren Sharp?
Well,
I was afraid you'd be like, you don't know who that is. I looked him up, and it says that he works for Fox Sports. But I saw that he said that was just one of the things that was posted on our news/our sports. He said tonight feels like we're watching the refs call. A makeup call after a bad call after a makeup call after a bad call after makeup call after bad call after makeup call, and he goes on and on and on. And I mean, there were other articles. I see Sports Illustrated had a story that just said Bills Jets Monday Night Football matchup marred by embarrassing showing from officials. It says the referees stole the primetime spotlight Monday night by mismanaging the Bills' close win over the Jets through a storm of poorly called penalties.
Like that holding that brought the touchdown back for the Jets. That was pretty ticky-tacky. That was like... Right.
Well, you know what I thought was interesting is when they asked...
Aaron Rodgers said, that's not roughing the passer that
against
happened
me.
Against me.
Yeah, really? He said, yeah.
That's not roughing the passer.
I didn't think that was either.
He says it. Hold on, I've got a clip of him saying that. Let me see.
That seemed a little ridiculous. Yeah, some of them seemed really bad, including the roughing the passer on me. That's not roughing the passer. I was about to play sarcastic ball if we're going to call those things. And I thought the one on Kinlaw was not roughing the passer either.
Might as well play what ball? Sarcastic ball?
Sarcastic ball?
Sarcastic ball? Sarcastic ball? I can't tell you that again. Might as well play sarcastic ball.
Passer on me, that's not roughing the passer. Might as well play sarcastic ball for all those
things. Oh, it's a reference
things.
To a South Park
episode. I thought the one on Kinlaw.
You know, say what you will about Aaron Rodgers, and I've said many things. He's a good-looking guy. In that press conference, he had a suit on, and his hair's all combed like, Jesus Christ, this guy looks like a movie star.
And he's a good football player.
Yeah, he's a good football player. No, there's never been any doubt about that. He's not the greatest.
No.
And I don't think there's ever been a time when he was the greatest. Well, there hasn't been because he played with Brady and then Mahomes. Yeah. And, you know, so it is what it is. He's great.
I think he's kind of been, right, he's great. I think he's kind of been miscast because people said, oh, he might be the greatest.
They wanted him to be.
They wanted him to be. And it's like, no, that's why, if you just said, hey, he's really good.
Yeah.
I think everybody would be like, yeah, he is really good.
Well, you couldn't count him out of the playoffs, but I mean, what? That good quarterbacks get you to the playoffs, you know? I mean, and he's great.
Really great. He got to the playoffs all the time. Like, he got there, but he's just, you know, a lot of guys can't. It's hard to win.
Right.
You know, the playoffs are hard to win. You know why? Because the teams are good.
Yes.
You know,
that's right.
So the greatest.
Are by accident.
The greatest, when you say the greatest, those are the guys that figure out ways to win.
Well, they said the game. Let me see this stat
that
they had here. How many flags? They hurled 22 flags, many of them in rapid succession from one play to the next. They say many of the calls. Many of these calls prompted equally horrendous makeup-style calls, which is what the Sharp guy was saying earlier, not to mention what looked to be a botched call on the field that was quickly shut down by booth review. There was some call on Thursday night's game.
Oh, I remember
what
the
was
booth
that?
Review one.
Last week?
No, last night? About last night, It was like a fumble that they called it a fumble, and I'm sitting there like, what? And then
really?
Come back on 10 seconds later, and they're like, actually, never mind, it was not a fumble, or... Because the New York got in their ear, like there was no challenge involved. They're just like, that wasn't a fumble.
You'd think that this happened during the strike. Remember during the strike, and like, oh, we'll just get other officials in there. Everyone's like, as fans were like, well, that sucks for the officials, but I guess, you know, they're going to see how easy it is to be replaced. And then it was not easy. And boy, that was a disaster.
Horrible.
I mean, if ever you wanted a successful strike to show that you can't just replace us, that's like the best I've ever seen. I think, you know, maybe air traffic controllers, I don't think people are super comfortable when you say, well, especially after if you're seeing something like that with the NFL, where you go, we'll just bring in their backups. You go, if you're old enough to remember the NFL's the official strike, then you'd be like, I don't know that I want the
Plus, don't
backup.
Forget Keanu Reeves as a replacement player.
Lazo, your parents lived in Florida.
They did. While,
and where they lived, that island didn't used to be an island, right? It used to be a peninsula, and then, well, didn't they live in an area that now had a bridge? It didn't used to have a bridge because it used to be connected by
land. Sanibel
was it
and
Sanibel?
Captiva.
Okay.
Were connected, and then a hurricane came through and ripped them apart.
Yeah, so now you've got water there, and it becomes
I think Sanibel was always an island.
Okay, so it was
Captiva. So it was a big island, Sanibel,
I didn't
Captiva,
think it was Sanibel.
But now
okay.
It split the two of them.
So with Hurricane Milton, that's happened again.
So and there's another?
They're acting like there's been more. No, no, no. Just in Florida in general.
Okay.
And that's a story this morning. They're talking about how this has altered the landscape of Florida drastically. And these places now, you know, have water and they're basically islands. And I'm thinking, yeah, but if you look at Florida, if you've ever flown into Florida, especially if you're in South Florida, it looks like you're flying over a koi pond. I mean, when you're in the air over South Florida, it's just, it looks like a swamp. It looks like floating dots of land and with water in it, around it, all over the place. So, but I, you know, the news is the news and they got to have something to talk about. And I'm not saying it's not a big deal. It's obviously a huge deal if you live there. Suddenly you need a bridge and you didn't need a bridge before. But Florida is filled with areas that used to be connected that aren't connected anymore because a hurricane hit. I think that
this
happens.
Morning, more and more people returning to destroyed homes and tattered communities. Jay Hager and his wife own timeshares at the Sea Oats Beach Club in Manasota Key.
I've been coming here for 40 years and never seen anything close to this.
The island permanently altered. Parts split in two. Milton also shutting down Port Tampa and knocking out power to gas stations, disrupting access to fuel across the state.
These gas lines are ridiculous here in St. Pete.
To help, the state opening up 12 fuel distribution sites.
We have fuel for the public. We're not even charging you. Free gas. Imagine that.
Free gas. If you want to be a popular politician, keep giving out free gas. But they have to because the there's no power to the gas pumps. So they just bring out tanker trucks full of fuel and they say, fill up.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they give you like, they don't actually say fill up. I think they give you $10, $20, something like that. It's a limit. But I don't like when they talk to the timeshare guy. Nothing against the timeshare guy, but he's like, I've been coming here for 40 years. Well, you've been coming here. You know, when you're allowed. Right. Like, you can talk to a local resident, you know, if you're going to say, I've never seen anything like
it. Where was it?
Who lived
there?
I don't remember now where they said he lived. What was the name of that place?
I don't remember.
I don't know. But, yeah, where they did show where those timeshares were, you know, now there's water going through there. And they're like, permanently changed. And I saw stories about that.
They're going to have to build a bridge?
Yeah. You know, I don't know if they have to build a bridge in that location or not. I would assume so.
Get to the other side.
Looks like you need it to me. You could tell me that, no, that water will eventually go away. But if it's permanent, then you're going to need a bridge. Yeah. So, and that's what happens in most of these. That's what happens. And there are bridges all over. There must be more bridges in South Florida per capita than anywhere else in America. They're everywhere. To get to everything, there's bridges because there's water separating you, and it's water that if you look at it from above, you can tell probably wasn't always there. You know, it happens with these hurricanes, and I heard this meteorologist was on TV this morning because these meteorologists are getting death threats against them. Meteorologists, like one woman is a meteorologist in Michigan, and she's talking about getting these death threats. She's like, please stop saying that you're going to kill me. I guess they think the meteorologists are part of this conspiracy to change the weather.
Are they still on that?
Yeah, that they're seeding the hurricanes. This D.C. meteorologist was talking about, he looks pretty young. You can tell he's like, I did not know I was signing up for this. But he's talking about how ridiculous it is to say that humans can control hurricanes because of the amount of energy that's in a hurricane. Now, what he said here is pretty crazy. Listen to how powerful
there are people who think we're manipulating hurricanes, creating them. And realistically, you know, one hurricane burns through about more energy than the entirety of the world's energy production times 200. A hurricane might have the energy of 10,000 nuclear bombs. And so to
10,000?
See these ideas proliferating on social media is not only alarming, but I think indicative of kind of American culture at this point.
Wait, hold on. So a hurricane has more energy in it than all of the world's production, what, in a ever or in an hour? Times 200. He said all the world's production times 200.
Right,
all the world's production
in a day,
like,
I'm guessing.
In a day?
Yeah.
Okay, and then 10,000 nuclear bombs?
Yeah.
A big hurricane has the energy of 10,000 nuclear bombs? Boy, I didn't know that. If you said, how many nuclear bombs does it take to make a hurricane? I'd be like, one. 25%. I don't know.
Right.
I mean, I'd certainly rather have a hurricane at my state than 10,000 nuclear bombs. I know that when you put it that way, I guess a lot of energy, but
I guess a hurricane just brings, I mean, I say just, but just brings
Right.
Rain and wind, water, as opposed to fire.
Yeah, fire.
Fire is
radiation.
Always a bitch.
Radiation sucks. And
giant fire bombs.
And nuclear
always...
winters.
Yeah,
you hate those.
Like, you know, so, yeah, it does have more energy, but usually not as devastating.
Then the sun comes out the next day. So that part is better, I will say. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back and talk about the other biggest story in the news today, which is Diddy.
Jesus Christ.
I know. More charges, more stories. Now you've got this. Did you see these?
No.
You got additional lawsuits against Combs, including a 16-year-old, a guy who was 16 years old at the time. And all of them, I think all of them so far that I've read, have stories related to what happened to them. So, you know, he just can't catch a break. But I'll tell you about it next.
It does take some getting used to.
The Church of Laszlo.
Okay, everybody just calm down.
On 98.9 The Rock. It's time to doom scroll.
You don't know, could kill
the order of hornets.
Groupies infected monkeys.
The only news that matters with the most trusted name in the business. This is Headlines with Slim Fast on the Church of Laszlo.
Hi.
Hi. We're finishing the news.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah. So, what's his name? Puff Daddy.
Oh, yeah.
Sean Diddy Combs.
Mm-hmm.
More charges against him. More lawsuits, I guess. He's got enough of them already, I would think.
Like 100 and some?
Yeah, well, he had in that one day, he had 120 more that were added. That was after he'd already been put in jail. And that lawyer came forward and said, like, yeah, we got 120 new ones. And now you've got more. And this one includes, I think, the big headline in this is that there's a guy in this lawsuit who says that the abuse or whatever, assaults happened to him when he was 16 years old. So
this morning, Sean Diddy Combs is facing a new rash of civil lawsuits alleging sexual assault, including by one accuser who says he was 16 at the time. In separate lawsuits, six anonymous accusers, women and men, allege the music mogul assaulted them between 1995 and 2021 in various places like a department store stockroom, a hotel bathroom, and at Combs's famous white parties in the Hamptons.
Yeah, the white party in
white
the Hamptons,
parties,
yes,
right?
Where they wear all white. And there's a picture of this guy who is accusing him, the one that says he was 16 at the time. There's a picture of him with, Combs has got his arm around him. They blur his face, but it's supposedly the guy when he was 16. He says that Combs told him to pull down his pants and present himself.
Huh.
And so there's that.
You did that to Snow Cone once, so.
Nobody forced me to, though, and I wasn't 16. I was older. There's also a girl who says...
You forced Snowcomb, though, to show his wiener.
He wasn't 16, and I didn't force him. That's not forced. Anyhow, just because I was his boss.
You threatened
and
him
I told
his
him
job.
To do, right, but he still had a choice to make. one of the women says that she was at a party, a different party, and that she was locked in a bathroom with Combs. And that, I don't know, it's not clear to me if they're saying, if she's saying Combs said it or that somebody else said it. It seems like she's saying Combs said, basically, you know why you're here. And then forced her to do the, you know, sexual acts against her will. So, you know, I'm starting to think that maybe this guy broke some rules.
Right, yeah.
I'm thinking maybe this guy was doing things he wasn't supposed to. I know we believe all ditties.
Yeah.
But
you're starting to doubt that a little bit?
Should we reassess that? Yeah. I mean, I don't know. And where are his friends? Like, are they still supporting him?
He doesn't seem to
he
have.
He doesn't really seem to have a lot of friends that are coming out of the woodwork saying, I know Diddy, and Diddy didn't do this.
Right.
You're not hearing that. The only person saying that is his lawyer, who kind of sucks.
That'd be a good song, though.
I know Diddy.
And Diddy didn't
do it.
Yeah. Diddy didn't do it is a good song.
That's a good hook, right?
Diddy
there.
Didn't do it is a good band name, too.
Not bad. Oh, I never told you my band name the other day. I'll tell you off the air.
What is it? You can tell
me. No. I'll tell you off the air. Anyhow, six new lawsuits, including, you know, men and minors. It's not great. And false entrapment. You got to be careful of that false entrapment thing, you know. I've heard that come up a lot since the Me Too movement kicked off. You know, you can't lock a bedroom door. Don't do that.
No, you probably shouldn't.
But I mean, like, even if you got somebody over, I think if you go to put your hand on that lock, you should look at the person and say, is it okay with you if I lock this door because there's
a bedroom door?
Well, or even the house, I think.
The front door?
Maybe. Mm. I think you got to be careful. I think you got to say, hey, so, like, my lock on my front door is kind of hard to unlock, and because, you know, the house is kind of settled, and it's a really old door.
It's got to be damn near impossible. I mean,
Okay,
Brooke's been there for years.
Here we go. It is hard for her to unlock.
I bet.
Yeah. So, but I'm just saying, if someone came over to the house and I locked that door, you know, I could see someone saying, oh, it was false imprisonment. He locked the door. I couldn't get it unlocked. And they said, what do you mean you couldn't get it unlocked? Who are you, Matt Lauer? And I'm like, no. It's just it sticks a little bit. You know, it's a little tough. So I think with that false imprisonment thing, no bathrooms, no bedrooms with locks on the doors. No. If you're going to lock the door, you need to ask first.
Well, I think that's fair.
And then I think as far as the other stuff goes, you know, it goes without saying, no 16-year-olds, men or women, unless you're 16. I don't know how that works even. I'm not sure. I don't know what the laws are. I remember when I first met you, there was a story that we talked about air in, like, Georgia. Boy. No, remember, it was like the Romeo and Juliet. They were trying to pass these Romeo and Juliet laws because there was a kid down there. I think it was in Georgia. It was one of those three southern states, Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia. And he was a black kid, and they were trying to put him in prison.
Oh, that's right.
Remember, because
he
was, like, 17, and she was 16, or he was 18, and she was 17. Yeah. They were, like, a year or less than a year apart in age, but there were no laws protecting that. So I don't know, when you have teenage kids, if you have to look into that and tell your kids, like, hey, here's the rules. I know it's a conversation you do not really want to have to have with your kids. Sounds like an uncomfortable one, but is it one that you have to have? I don't know. You've got teens. Is something that's ever crossed your mind?
No.
I just assume that sister will be fine. They'll be fine. Make good choices. That's what you say. You say, make good choices. Make good choices. Don't go to Diddy parties. Don't go to white parties in the Hamptons until you're 18. And
I mean, now that's obvious.
Well, now, right.
Well, back then, like, if my kid was like, yo, I got invited to a Diddy party in the Hamptons.
You think he's the next Bieber.
I'm like, all right.
Right. This is the path to stardom.
Got to go to K&G Superstore and get you some white pants, man.
That's right. Which we can do, and
yeah,
we will.
Absolutely. I've done it myself. Yes. I know where they are.
Yes. I actually just got a white dress shirt there within the last year. So, you know, if he needs to borrow it. But, never mind. You can't go there. You can't go there. We know that now. No Diddy parties. Don't go to rappers' parties when you're underage. Don't send your kids to just don't send it. Rock and roll, rap, I don't think it matters. They just don't need to go to that stuff. Do you see Starbucks? I don't go to Starbucks a lot. Are you guys big Starbucks guys? I didn't think so. I know. Well, like, when I lived in Seattle, you started to learn why Starbucks is from there and why coffee culture is so big. It's because it's cloudy and dark and rainy all the time.
I'm always tired.
Like, you're always tired. You're trying to just wake the hell up. But when it comes to my coffee, I feel like I usually drink my coffee at home. Sometimes you'll have snow cone grab or something. That's a nice little treat. But I'm not regularly stopping by a coffee place. If I stop to get coffees at the gas station.
Yeah, me too.
Okay. So I don't know much about what's been going on at Starbucks. Ew, there's a 7-Eleven cup right there. I saw they're going to close a bunch of 7-Elevens. I thought
they are.
Yeah, I hope they don't
almost
close yours.
Mine.
Yeah, that's what I. We maybe we
you
can
got
look.
There, snow cone. What the hell is that?
Instructions on how to take his allergy medicine. You don't
allergy
need to read
for
all that.
What?
He's got allergies. His nose gets runny in the evenings. He's never had allergies before.
Well, I've had them. I've gotten them more and more each year. It's like since I was like 30.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's just like when I get home.
So for 20 years?
Yeah, I knew that was coming. Now it's just been miserable and nice. I'm trying to figure all of it out.
You just take the medicine. You don't need to read that.
I
want to
make sure. I'm doing it right.
Oh,
my God.
I'll show you how to use it.
What is it? What'd you get?
What did you decide? Flonase?
Flonase, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
well, you just literally sprayed up your nose and you're done.
You don't have to get a prescription.
Okay.
Right?
He didn't get a prescription. He's just
reading
reading the instructions.
Oh, he just went and bought it himself?
Yeah, he went and got it at Target. Now he's reading
just
the instructions.
Spray it up your nose, dude.
Just
okay.
Spray it. Jesus.
God, anyhow,
if you go to Starbucks a lot, you're going to have to, I don't know, pay more or something because they're not doing the buy one, get one. I guess Starbucks has been having a little bit of trouble. They're also going to remodel their stores or something. Who cares?
So the new CEO is cutting back on those promotional offers. So you're not going to see those buy one, get one free deals or any of those other deep discounts that the coffee chain was using to try to lure customers back. Now, the hope is that this will help reposition Starbucks back to a premium brand while also reducing strain on employees who get swamped handling all those deals.
Now, I was reading about this morning. I was thinking, man, being a CEO would be tough. That's a tough position when the company's not doing well and they're like, hey, we need to turn things around. And I thought I couldn't handle that stress. But then I thought about it. CEOs fail all the time. CEOs have really bad runs. This recent CEO of Nike, right? He's made news. I guess he's not there anymore. But, you know, things didn't work out for him at all. It was like all those decisions that he made undone. But while you're there, you still make tons of money. So, yeah, I would do it, of course. I was thinking this morning, like, yeah, I wouldn't do that. Well, no, of course you would, because that's the thing. Once you make it to CEO, they're asking you, you know, all right, you're in charge. That's it. You make these decisions, and you start reporting to the the shareholders, I guess.
Yeah, the board.
The board.
And
but
you say, you know, no more discounts.
You just got to act like you know what you're doing. That's it. Like everything in life. Here's what we're going to do to fix things.
I know people are complaining about the prices of stuff. We're going to go ahead and raise them.
Yeah, no more coupons. Yeah. We're going to put new furniture in there. Give it 2 years. And you're thinking to yourself, I get paid $30 million a year.
For 2 years.
Just give me 2 years.
Whether they fire me within 5 years, they're going to pay me like $100
million. That's all you got to do is come up with like a 2 year plan. You can come up with a 2 year plan once you're a CEO of one of these big companies. You're set for life. That's it. It doesn't have to work.
I think once they hire you.
Yeah, you're in. You're in. Because even if you are the most unsuccessful CEO ever, if they're like, God, everything that person did was undone because it was so stupid, doesn't matter. They don't just take your money back. They don't say, you owe us money. That's not part of the deal. They pay CEOs a crap ton of money. And that's it.
Yeah, I don't know you become one, but
I think
look
you pretend.
Into that, would you?
Pretend
after
like you know.
After you're done reading the instructions to
Don't ask for his help.
After you're done reading the instructions to Flonase, would you please figure out how I can become a CEO?
If we're asking him,
okay, thank you.
It's not going to happen. And speaking of money, a guy in UCLA, what do you call him there, a professor? He's a rocket scientist, an actual rocket scientist who works for UCLA. He says he's homeless. Well, he actually says, I'm not technically homeless, but I am technically homeless. He has a place to stay, but he doesn't have a home. He's got all of his stuff in a storage facility. Why? Because UCLA doesn't pay him enough to rent a place. So he's saying, hey, I need them to pay me more money because I can't afford to rent an apartment, even though I'm a rocket scientist at UCLA. And I'm pretty sure this is me talking here, but isn't it real expensive to go to UCLA? When we start talking about how much schools cost, I don't think
out
that's like a cheap
sure.
one. Well, I think even if you're in-state, it's not like a cheap school.
No, I think
school.
That's one of the ones where you can go for cheaper if you're in-state.
Oh, really? Yeah. Okay. But it's not like a cheap school.
No,
it's
of course not.
An expensive school. So, you know, pay this rocket scientist enough to get an apartment.
A little while ago, I had to move all of my stuff into one of these storage units. I'm only being paid $70,000 for this academic year. The rent in Los Angeles is incredibly expensive. It's $2,500 for a one-bedroom apartment, so I'm no longer able to afford that.
Now, this rocket scientist is no football coach, but still, he's something.
Yeah, I'm not saying give him $3 million.
No.
Well, you know, $100,000 if that's what he wants.
Seems
go ahead
like
and figure that out.
Reasonable.
The Church of Laszlo on 98.9 The Rock.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Yo.
Yo. All right. Jerry Jones, you know him? He is the owner of the Dallas Cowboys, and he's the most well-known franchise owner.
Yeah, I think so,
he's
right?
also the only owner, really, this is what they were saying on Nick's show earlier, which I think is pretty obviously true. He's the only owner that is the face of the franchise. You don't have a lot of... You have some where you may know them a little better. You know, Robert Kraft, because of all those championships, people around the country started to know who he was. And if you're a big football fan, you know who a lot of the owners are. But as far as being the face of the franchise, it's Jerry Jones
in Dallas. Right.
He makes the decisions. He acts as the general manager.
He's the most popular owner, for sure.
And he is the face of the franchise. And a lot of people have said that he is the reason that the Cowboys have struggled. He can't get out of his own way. You know, he needs to hire somebody. That's been one of the big debates. But the Cowboys got their butts kicked by the Lions. And Jerry Jones, now I don't know that that necessarily, you know, is the reason that he's angry, but I would just assume that that it doesn't help his mood at all. And he's on a radio morning show, sports station, which I meant to change my voice to do my sports voice. I don't know what Laszlo's sports voice is. This is
it's
mine.
The same one.
This is mine, Jerry. Let me ask you a question. This week's game, you know, a lot of ugliness out there. I feel like sports guys have that, but then when you meet them in person, that's just how they talk. So I don't know if they train themselves to do it, and then it just sticks. They're like character actors, or if the voice came and someone's like, "You should do radio," and that's how they ended up there. But don't you think sports guys have a voice? Some of them sound very similar. Anyhow, he's on this morning show talking to some yahoos. Those are not my words. Somebody else's words there. You'll see. He's talking to this morning show on 105.3 The Fan in Dallas-Fort Worth. And they're asking him questions about moves that he made or didn't make. He gets upset by these questions. And I'll just play the clip here.
Jerry, 1970, a little different from this past offseason in building the team we're talking about today, which there was a lot of criticism that you guys didn't add, didn't spend, and don't add, and don't spend, and are not aggressive enough with some of the problems that are still haunting the Cowboys today that we see play out on the field. That's the point of talking about the offseason.
Oh, I remember those criticisms very well. Okay, so what?
Are they playing out to be accurate?
What's your point? What's your point?
My point is, it seems like...
Let me tell you what I'll do. Let me tell you what I'll do about it. I will let us sit down and look at the decisions we've made over the last several years. Okay? I'll look at it. Now, if you think I'm interested in a damn phone call with you over a radio and sitting here and throwing all the good out with the dishwater, you have got to be smoking something over there this morning. I'm not. And I really don't, and I don't even want our listeners to listen to me, to talk about, this is not your job. Your job isn't to let me go over all the reasons that I did something, and I'm sorry that I did it. That's not your job.
Well, my job is to ask
get
why.
A job, or I'll get somebody else to ask these questions, man.
Jerry, we're trying to figure out why the team is.
I'm not kidding. I'm not kidding. You're not going to figure out what the team is doing right or wrong. If you are, or any 5 or 10 like you, you need to come to this meeting I'm going to today. There are 32 teams here. You're geniuses.
Okay. Right, to be there.
Jerry, yeah.
Y'all really think you're going to sit here with a microphone and tell me all of the things that I've done wrong and without going over the rights?
What?
Now, listen.
Not going over the what?
The rights? Not going over the rights? What does that mean?
All the right things I did?
Oh, yeah, because he said
the wrongs.
Yeah, he said, well, you think I'm going to throw all the good out with the dishwater? Isn't it bad?
If you're going to mention all the wrongs,
mention the good.
A lot of great fans and a lot of great listeners. And I am very sorry for what happened out there Sunday. I'm sick about what happened Sunday.
Okay. So I think the headline is because he says, I'll get somebody else to ask these questions. I'm sorry. I don't mean to be Mr. Billionaire Defender here, but I didn't take that as I'll have your jobs. I think he's saying I'll go on someone else's radio show, isn't he? I mean, couldn't that be what he means?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just saying it.
I'll get somebody else to ask these questions.
Yeah,
he's just whatever. He's frustrated. His team sucks.
Yeah, he's in a bad.
He doesn't want to be called on for the dumb decisions he made, like paying Dak Prescott $70 gazillion.
It's tough.
And the dude sucks.
It's tough. Right. And you're on the phone with these radio guys. Right. As a radio guy, I can't imagine how frustrating that must be for a person of status. You know what I mean? Like a very wealthy person of status
to
wake up.
Well, I give the radio guy some credit because it is hard if you're like, I mean, I can't imagine, like 96.5 The Fan. It's hard for them to, I guess, you know, I mean, recently it wouldn't be hard. You're like, why are you guys so great? But,
right.
Like, when they suck, like, it's kind of hard to be like, hey, you know, Lamar Hunt,
why did your team suck, and
why do you keep paying Tyler Pelco money? Like, that's not easy.
No.
Because he can be like, well, I don't want to be on your radio station anymore. And then your boss can be like, why'd you ask him such hard questions?
And that can happen. That can absolutely happen to anybody. I mean, that just makes sense. I don't think you have to be in radio or TV.
Right. And so I think that's what he's doing. He's threatening him with that.
He is.
And so, you know, whatever, man. You're a big boy. You're Jerry Jones. You go on TV. You go on the radio. You didn't have to do this interview.
That's my thing. Is he contractually obliged to do something?
I don't want to do it.
Or you could, yeah, just say, I don't want to
do it. Doesn't matter how much contractually involved you is. You can just tell the radio station, I don't want to do it. I'm not doing it. I'm busy today.
Well, yeah, you could hang up.
We'll do it next week.
You can not call in at all.
Right. If you hang up, now you look even more like a prick. So,
but couldn't you just say, I don't want to, I don't want to go over all that. I don't want to, we don't have to go over everything.
Well, there's a million ways you could answer it, of course. Like, hey, a lot of rights, a lot of wrongs, but what we're focused on now is the future. Of course. But he doesn't, he's pissed. His team's no good, and they just got embarrassed by the Detroit Lions.
Yeah. Lions are pretty good.
Okay, but, like, that's not what you want.
I get it.
For any team to be like, you know, Chiefs fans about crap their pants and the Lions beat them by one.
Yeah.
In the first game of the year, not 49-7 or something.
Yeah.
Like, nobody wants to get demolished by the Lions. That's just not a thing. And, look, I'm a huge Lions fan, my favorite team. I think they're going to win the Super Bowl this year, but still, you're not like, hey, we lost 49-3. Oh, really? Who'd you lose to? The Chiefs? They're good. Like, no, the Lions.
Yeah.
The what?
I get it.
So you don't want that, so he's pissed, and the
also,
guy's asking him questions, so, right.
He doesn't like, I think if you're if you've ever been around a rich person, you yourself probably kissed that rich person's ass.
Of course.
How could you not? And you say, I'm not going to do it. But then you do, because it just comes instinctually as an American that as soon as you're around someone with wealth, you think, I'm going to kiss this person's ass.
And how do you just ask this guy, like, a real question?
Right. And
like,
so
how do you ask
a question?
Like, hey, let's talk about all the mistakes you made. The guy, I'm guessing he pays for... Or you make your station makes a ton of money by having the Cowboys on it.
Right. Well, that's...
And this interview makes the station a lot of money. So this guy's trying to be nice to him, but he asks him some tough questions. And he's like, I'll get you fired, you little bitch.
You're
like,
all
right, well, forget it.
Say...
Let me reword that question, Mr. Jones. With all the brilliant things you've done.
Right.
How much does it hurt to make a mistake?
Yeah.
I don't understand. It really is besides me.
We're all confused.
We're all confused because I look at it on paper. I go back, and we could count all the wrongs and all the rights, but all I see are rights.
Yep.
Looks to me like you did everything right.
I don't know who
Ezekiel Elliott would be too old?
Nobody.
I mean, he played for the Patriots last year and, you know, ran for like 7 yards total. He's 100. But on paper, it looked like a really, you know, bring him home. He's really going to like, come on. What are you going to say to the guy? And that's why, you know.
But you do have to be careful if you're in radio because, like you just said, having that interview is big for the station.
Of course.
Having access is huge. A sports station needs that access, just like a news station needs that access.
Of course.
And if you lose it, it's a bad spot to be in.
Especially if it's a station, I don't know if it is, but especially if it's a station that plays the games.
Yeah.
That's part of the perk of paying them or whatever to be
a partner.
Yeah.
To be
a partner.
That's what I figured.
We have Mahomes on and Andy Reid on.
That's part of the perk. And the other station is like, oh, man, we don't get those guys on. That's part of the perk.
Yep. So that's a big deal. If I'm one of those guys doing that interview and he's getting that upset, I'm nervous. I don't care how ridiculous it might seem to people. I'm still nervous in that moment.
Of course.
And it's not. I don't just mean uncomfortable, nervous that this is bad radio. I mean nervous like, oh, damn it. Is this going to blow up in my face?
I'm not nervous that really it's bad radio because it's good radio.
It's good radio because we're talking about it.
Yeah,
it was all over TV today.
Seeing him lose his cool is good radio, but you're like, you know, I could just see me getting called. I mean, I've been calling bosses office over a corn maze.
I know.
Over a stupid corn maze, which I didn't even say. I didn't even say anything. I just said you get lost in there and kidnapped. And they're like, don't talk bad about the corn maze. Apologize to the corn maze. Well, that's not the Dallas Cowboys.
That's what I'm saying.
Right.
It's
some schmuck in overalls comes in like, make them apologize to me. And they're like, Lazo, get up there and apologize. And I'm like, are you kidding me? That's not Jerry Jones.
You did
Jerry
it, though.
Jones of course I did.
You apologized to the corn maze.
I apologized to a corn maze. This guy, right? I mean, that's not Jerry Jones.
No.
So he's nervous.
You're absolutely
Jerry
nervous.
Jerry Jones like, I'll get somebody else.
And your boss is like, what did you do? And you're like, I don't know.
I just asked him
a question. Right. And so you don't ask those questions. Say,
you asked him why he's bad at his job, and you're like, yeah. I'm like, well, you know, you can ask him why you don't have yours anymore.
Yeah.
All right. Time for a smoke break.
Fire it up.
The Church of Laszlo on 98.9 The Rock.
What would you do to try and get back your lost $527 million?
About anything.
Just about anything.
Yeah.
It's a substantial amount of money. That's life-changing money there.
Of course.
It's enough to really get things going.
$527 million?
Yeah. I could start a business and
finally
be successful.
It's enough money for me to tell Jerry Jones to go F himself.
Yeah, it is. It's a lot. I mean, I know these days everybody wants to be a billionaire, but I'd take the 527. I think that's... That's I could figure out how to live on it.
Well, of course you could.
In the UK, we talked about this guy a while back, but he and his partner, he was mining Bitcoin back in 2009. Early days.
Travel out west and mine some Bitcoin.
So this guy, he had some sort of business partner, and it's a very bad business partner. I mean, look, everybody makes mistakes, but this business partner apparently is the one who accidentally took this hard drive and threw it in the recycling bin. So it went out with the trash. And on that recycling bin, at the time, he had the Bitcoin would have been worth, I mean, a lot. It was a bad mistake then, because it would have been worth like $1 million, I think, when he threw it out. Now it's worth about $527 million, because it's like 8,000 Bitcoin, which I don't know how much Bitcoin you own, but 8,000 is a lot.
About right around there.
That's a lot. So, $527 million.
I don't own any Bitcoin.
You don't?
No, I don't.
I thought after Matt Damon said to buy it.
I bought Doge.
He bought Doge Cash.
I have 3 million Doge, which is worth about $60.
Well, it's something, though, that in your AMC stock. One day, buddy. They have nowhere to go but up.
Well, that's true.
I mean, what, are movie theaters not going to succeed and be huge?
How could Doja Cat not be big?
Exactly. There are two guarantees.
Yeah.
You got it. You just got to wait it out. Patience, my friend. Snoken will tell you that. Any smart businessman like himself will tell you that.
Mm-hmm.
So, 8,000 Bitcoin goes out with the garbage. Obviously, he's a little upset. He wants to go get this hard drive and see if he can retrieve it, if it's smashed, if it's broken, whatever. See if there's some way to retrieve these 8,000 Bitcoin. I don't know which is the worst situation to be in. So, you mentioned the guy earlier who had the essentially hard drive, the wallet that he couldn't access because of the encryption. He couldn't remember the password. And after you access it a certain number of times, it will destroy everything that's on the drive. That guy, or the guy who has to go dig up landfill to try and find your hard drive. Things can be found in landfills. I mentioned the E.T. documentary about the video game, the Atari video game. When bodies, when they think someone's been murdered and possibly they were thrown in a dumpster, there have been police organizations that have gone out and they do these very methodical, organized searches of the landfills, and they go layer by layer, and they can find these things. And here's the thing. This guy said, obviously, I'm going to pay for it. I'll pay for it. I put together a team. It's going to take a really long time. Like, it might take 36 months. It's going to cost a ton of money, but I'll pay for it. And then when I get the Bitcoin, I will share some of that Bitcoin with the city. Now, this is happening over in Wales, and the city council over there is like, no, you can't do it. Something to do with environmental concerns. Environmental concerns? I mean, this is ridiculous. The guys,
what are the environmental concerns?
They don't say. They just say over environmental concerns. I guess maybe releasing methane, things like that, making it stink. I don't know. Seems ridiculous. If this guy's going to give you 10%.
It's already in a landfill.
Right. You already threw it in the ground.
Right.
I mean, how scientific can this be? You roll over with the steamroller, you put another layer of crap over it, roll over, put some concrete over it, go to the next spot, right? You know what they do?
But he knows that that's where it is.
Well, so what they can do is landfills are very organized, actually. They don't just take the trash out there and throw it. They know, okay, if a truck came on this day and picked it up from this part of town, then it would have been the trash would have been dumped in this spot in the landfill.
If it wasn't in there, would you be satisfied with that? Or you'd be like, oh, it could have gone.
Well, it's a big area. It's not like it's a very specific, but it's not like you're searching the entire landfill necessarily, because they should have a general idea of where the trash would have been thrown out on that day from that area and what part of the landfill they were using. So that's how they've found things in the past, like bodies and other things that they've looked for. So it sounds like that's what this guy was going to do. He's going to pay for all of it. There's $500 million at stake here. But the city council is like, nah, environmental concerns. So he says, you know what? I'm suing you. I'm suing you for $647 million for blocking me from digging up my hard drive with my Bitcoin on it. Why $647 million? I don't know. They said his Bitcoin's worth $527 million. So why $647 million? Not really sure. Maybe you got to get your money back, but then you've also got to teach them a lesson.
Suffering?
Maybe it's pain. They don't say anything about pain and suffering. They don't say anything about teaching them a lesson.
Punitive.
But that's got to be what it is. Yeah, you have punitive damages.
For being such bitches?
Right.
I feel like if I was a city council member, it doesn't matter. This can't be a huge city. I feel like no matter what, if they were like $500 billion, I'd be like, I would absolutely be one of those guys on the council and went to them and like, look, they're going to vote you down, bro. But I got you. You find that thing.
Right.
It's $10 million.
Yeah,
I'm going to scream and shout and make sure this thing gets passed. even if I thought they were all going to vote yes, I'd be like, $10 million when you find it.
Well,
I mean, that's pretty easy.
And I'll tell you, that it is.
And what's he going to be like, no?
Right, of course. Of course not. He's a city council member. Doesn't matter what city it is. And they're saying, like, it's not just that it's an environmental thing. It is that it's an environmental thing. But because it's an environmental thing, like, you can't get the permits to dig it up. Well, how do you think people get permits to do things?
Get them.
They pay people off. How do you think you get a permit to open a casino? You pay politicians to give you the permit. That's how things work here. That's how the founders set this country up. It's very simple, basic stuff here.
Yeah.
You learn it. Now, I know this is another country, but it was modeled, you know, quite a bit off of what they're already doing over there. It's got to work the same. Just pay these people.
Grease I'm a councilman. I'm sure I can probably get you the permit anyway.
Yes.
$10 mil.
Yes, get the permits.
$10 mil, I'll get you in there.
Get the permits. And he already said that he was going to give the city a bunch of this money anyway. We know he's got a bunch of money to actually search for this stuff because he's putting together
his team.
It's going to cost him millions. He's rich. I guess he is a pretty successful business person somehow. Maybe he has some other Bitcoin.
I wonder if they were all on the come, too.
But I don't know.
Like, hey, you know, if we find it, you get this.
Well, according to him, you're like, well, what are the odds that you'll find it? Because it's according to his team. His team says, based on the information they have, that they say there's an 80% chance that they would be able to retrieve the drive. Now, whether or not it's broken, they have no way to know. You know, if it's like an irreparable damage, they couldn't know that. But actually finding it, they claim it's an 80% chance.
When I arrived yesterday, they basically told me that...
This was from the news when he first threw it away and was trying to...
When I arrived yesterday, they basically told me that anything that goes into the household scrap bin is compressed and buried. I just wish I could go back in time and throw that drive away. I don't have the resources, the funds, or the manpower to start that, especially without the guarantee of, you know, receiving money at the end, because as you know, we're on a landfill site. There's a potential to find the drive. Is it still working? Can the data be recovered? When I went up to the landfill site yesterday, my first thought was, I've got no chance.
So that's what he was saying back when this happened. And he's also, so you heard him say, like, we don't have the resources. I'm wondering, too, did he convince people, like, hey, there's $500 million at stake here. Could you get people to volunteer?
Yeah,
like, we'll be part of this team. What cut am I going to get?
Yeah.
Because part of me thought that the 80% chance thing could just be something that he told the team to say to try and increase the likelihood that they'd let him try and get this thing.
What if he has I don't know what the team is. Like, what's the team? Just like guys who work in construction? Or is there some sort of genius here? How did they come up with the 80%? Like, who would know what the percentage is that you would find a small drive in a landfill? Like, there's
sanitation people. Because it's 100,000 tons of garbage that they said they would have to excavate. Mm. That seems like a lot. I think a ton is a lot. I think that's...
You do?
I do. I think it's... Hundreds of pounds? Thousands. A couple thousand, probably.
I think two.
Yeah.
You're How much does a car
multiple
weigh?
Multiple thousands. Oh, a couple tons. Ton and a half.
So it's about 50 cars worth of trash?
I
feel like we could dig that up.
It seems like something we could do, right?
Yeah, I would think so.
Especially for $500 million. These people have to be, his team has to be, you're right, like former sanitation, at least some of them, because what else would make you an expert in finding this stuff? You'd have to know something about this. They said it would take 18 to 36 months to carry out, and then they said it would take another year for them to, I guess, basically put this trash back the way that it goes and get it all cleaned up to the environmental standards, but the city's saying no, so he sued them for $647 million. I'm trying to think what I wouldn't do to try and find my lost $527 million, and there's really very little. I mean, kill someone. That's where I'm drawing the line. It's basically saying, and it's for a chance.
Who would I kill him?
You would kill someone?
Five for $500 million?
Yeah. A chance at $500 million. You kill someone.
80% chance?
80% chance that you find it, but does it work? You know.
Yeah.
Okay, do I know the person?
Man, who am I killing? That's the thing. Who am I killing?
I don't know. You can kill that guy that you hate so much in Idaho.
Oh.
Koberger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For $500 million?
Yeah.
Not even.
Oh, it's guaranteed $500 million then, for sure.
Not guaranteed, but for 80% chance that you could find the drive.
I think that if it was innocent, I'd kill him.
Okay, I've had a feeling you were going to say.
Well, why it's $500 million?
I understand it's a human life.
Like, I can't get caught.
We didn't say that.
Okay, well, now you're putting more risk at it. I have to go to jail forever. But
if we're just killing people with buttons, drones.
Right, but I got to shoot this guy in the face.
Yeah, you got to kill him.
Yeah, but I can't get in trouble.
Well, I guess
I shoot him right in his face right now.
If you're saying you can't get in trouble, then I
You'd shoot him, too, right? In the face?
Yeah, I would do it, too. The whole reason I wasn't doing it is because of the risk of prison.
Right, of course.
I don't know the guy. I'm not worried about his family.
But you
got to
shoot him
either.
In the face, right in front of him, while he's begging for his life.
I think I could do it for half a billion.
Oh, I know I could.
We're guaranteeing half a billion now, and we're guaranteeing that...
80%.
80% chance that I get the half a billion. So 80% chance that I get the money. And 0% chance I'm going to prison for this?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll shoot him.
How about Bob? Shoot him in the head?
No.
I like Bob. Bob's a dead man.
Stop it. You would not do that.
I'd shoot Snow Cone in the face for it.
Yeah, I would expect
I believe that you would.
Like, I would not be upset.
I don't actually believe that you would.
I wouldn't.
He's got a
shoot
kid.
Shoot Snow Cone in the face?
You would not do that. He's got a kid.
I'll give his kid $1 million.
Yeah, I understand. No, it's fine.
It's fine.
It's kind of greedy of me
Snow
to say
cone.
No.
Right.
God, you got to stand up for yourself once
no,
in
you
a while.
Need to give more than $1 million, though.
Okay, fine. $2 million.
Oh, Jesus.
What if you want?
We know he's 10.
Okay, $10 million.
We'll start at 10.
Well, you're going to be dead.
If he's
going to
shoot you in the face, you can ask for a little more than that. Jesus.
Well, $10 million is life-changing money for that kid.
Well, maybe.
For any kid.
Maybe. I don't know what his, you know, with inflation and everything, what someone
$10 million
like,
is a lot of money.
His age is supposed to earn over a lifetime.
Fine. $20 million, but I get to shoot you in the stomach first. Just because I want to.
Got shot in the belly.
Do we get the religious tax break for this?
That's a great point.
The Church of Laszlo on 98.9 The Rock.
So, I know you follow what's going on in Cobb County, Georgia, pretty closely.
Of course I do. The Cobb County Independent and Register.
Yep. In the Cobb County Gazette? Or did that go out of business?
No,
I don't know.
They bought them.
Okay. Gotcha. They merged. Well, and you're also a man who's run for sheriff more than once.
I have.
You've received quite a few votes for sheriff over the years. So, you know, this is news that's near and dear to your heart. Because it's like, what would you do in this situation if you were sheriff? Things you've had to think about as a guy who's run for sheriff. Could I handle the situation better? In Cobb County, Georgia, there's an election coming up for sheriff. And the incumbent is in a little bit of hot water. Because, the Cobb County sheriff... This happened back in 2023, but the video just got released by his opponent, okay? And I just like the idea of the opponent thinking, we gotta get a hold of some body cam footage. Let's see what we can look through. Just digging through, having your team dig through hours of body cam footage. I don't know if that's actually how they got this information, but I like to think that that's what it was. And then you find this gem from 2023. The Cobb County, Georgia sheriff goes to Burger King. And he, according to the story, orders a Whopper for his wife. He wants the Whopper to have, like, mayonnaise, or maybe it was no mayonnaise, and cut in half, okay? You know, it's Burger King, you can order it your way,
yeah, of
right?
Of course.
Whatever you want. I can't remember if it was mayo or no mayo. So, the sheriff is going through the drive-thru Burger King, orders his wife a Whopper, no mayo, cut in half, please. Apparently, they don't do it right. I guess they had the mayo on it. Might not even been cut in half. Seems like they really screwed this up. Now, apparently... There was some sort of argument. We don't know how heated this exchange got because there's no video of that. But he's saying, look, you know, I just said, hey, can you get it right or can I get a refund? And he's claiming that they said no, which I find very hard to believe. But what does he do? He calls his deputies. He calls for backup.
Okay.
Calls for backup. And three deputies drive to the Burger King with lights and sirens.
Sure.
Because I don't know that they know what's going on at that point.
Sure.
You know, just send me some backup.
The sheriff's in trouble.
The sheriff's in trouble, boys. He's at the BK. Get down there now. So they go down to the BK, and that's where the body cam starts. You see one of the deputies talking to the sheriff through the window of his truck. Now, the sheriff is in his civilian clothes. He's not in uniform or anything. He's in his car, normal clothes. So, you know, the sheriff is saying, look, the people who worked at Burger King didn't know that I was a sheriff, didn't know I was a cop. And that might be true because he doesn't look like a cop in this moment. He just looks like a normal civilian. But he says, I need you to do me a favor, deputy. I need you to figure out the names of these employees and who owns this place. Because apparently he's not able to get answers from them and he wasn't able to get his money back and he wanted to file some sort of a complaint. But you have to think that things got pretty bad because when the deputies go to the doors to try and go into the Burger King to get this information that their boss wants, the doors are locked. They've locked all the doors. They're scared. And the employees said later that the reason they locked the doors is because they're worried about people when they get angry customers. Because recently, angry customers have really started to escalate their anger. We've seen people getting shot at because of wrong orders. And they said that one of the problems they specifically had is people who stalk them.
Man.
I can't imagine stalking someone who gets your order wrong at BK, but maybe this guy would be one of them that would do it. So he called. They go. They can't get in. They have to knock on the door. And finally, an employee comes, talks to one of the deputies after he tells him, I promise, I'm not going to write a report. You're not getting arrested. You're not in any trouble. I just need some information. They finally talked to him. He got the information and handed it to the sheriff. Now, his opponent says, this is a bad look. This is a misuse of resources. And it also puts the public in danger when you've got deputies running with lights and sirens to get to the BK. I'm going to defend the guy.
All I need is the owner name or whoever owns this other manager. Well, I just need to find out who owns this place so I can do official complaint. I want to...
I think it is an abuse of power. Deputies run lights and siren, placing citizens at risk and his deputies at risk just so that he could get information from a business owner that clearly could have been followed upon on another day.
All right. All I'm going to say.
So fast, shut up.
Is that if at any job, there's perks that come with that job.
Stupid perk talk.
There's perks that come with jobs.
Yeah.
And if you're used, look, now you're the sheriff and you've got teenagers or whatever they were slamming doors in your face, maybe calling you names. I don't know what happened. Who knows? He doesn't say. They finally did get an interview with this guy, but he doesn't go into great details. Acts like it wasn't a big fight, but I imagine that there were some words exchanged. You're not used to being talked to like
you
that.
You ordered a Whopper.
Yeah.
You wanted no mayonnaise and for it to be cut in half.
At Burger King. This isn't McDonald's.
Right.
This is what you advertise.
It would be weird if you ordered a Whopper at McDonald's.
I'm just saying, it'd be weird if you asked for specific things like that. Well, but Burger King, it's
like
your
I'm
way.
Saying,
yeah,
no, I'm not being, trying to be funny. That I'm saying this is a thing. Like it's like if he was like he ordered a Whopper at McDonald's, then people would be like, "This is insane."
Right.
This guy's an insane man. But he ordered it at the right place.
Yeah.
Asked for it to be made his way, and they refused.
According to him.
Yeah. Well,
and his wife is allergic to this mayonnaise, so
yeah, she could die.
It's possible that remember that guy Disney?
His wife died.
His wife died from the food allergy.
This is important.
Disney. You're a cop, not just a cop. You're the sheriff. You're the sheriff
of
Cobb County.
Right.
And now you're going to disrespect me. You're going to yell at me. You're not even going to give
me my
$5 back.
Jerry Jones should get people fired.
Exactly.
The sheriff should be able to get a Whopper.
Exactly. You finished my thought. If Jerry Jones can decide who's on the radio, the sheriff of Cobb County should be allowed to get a refund when you screw up his Whopper.
You screwed up my Whopper. I want a refund. And they're like, no. And they locked him out. Not
come on.
Cool.
Come on.
It's not like you said you're under arrest.
No.
You said I need to get
the owner's
name.
Give me my money back. Well, he only wanted the name because they wouldn't give him his money
back. Exactly.
He said he had to file a complaint. And he said in the interview, he's like, look, I was just doing what any citizen would do.
Yeah.
I mean, minus the lights and sirens and all that, you know.
And
but
by
that's
the way,
the perk.
He also
is
not
a big part of the story there.
Yeah,
that's
also
the perk.
A big part of the story is he's not any citizen. He does have lights and sirens at his disposal.
Thank you.
If you want to be sheriff, run for it. I tried and lost.
Yes, but you have done things. You have used your job.
Sure.
And the perks of your job to benefit you.
Of course.
Throughout your life.
Of
I guarantee
course.
There's been situations that didn't call for
you're had sex in a tank room because
exactly.
of who you are.
Exactly. Exactly.
Right? Now you're going to yell at this guy for trying to get a Whopper, right?
Yep.
You've used your perks all the time.
You go try and meet
we
a band. You go up to somebody from a record label
free
and say, oh, let me
tickets.
In. Let me in. I know that this concert's sold out, but let me in. And they let you in. Why did you even ask? Because you work in radio. That's why you asked. So you thought
it's
you could.
It's one of the perks.
It's one of the perks.
I agree.
So
I haven't got any problem with this guy.
No. This is the end of the world. This is the best you've got. Think about that, too. His opponent releases this thing late at night on social media a couple nights ago. Like, this is his big thing. Oh, this will sink him. And maybe it will, you know? These days, who knows? People in Georgia think that meteorologists are controlling the weather. So I don't know. I don't know how they'll vote. I did see one voter on the local news down there. She said she was very concerned. She had a trucker hat on with the American flag on it and just painted a picture. And she said she doesn't like that the sheriff used resources that way, and that it's gonna. She wants to know more now about what's going on in this election because she's
who's
concerned.
She?
Just some concerned citizen that they had on the news down there.
Whatever. You can learn more in one hand and the other.
Well,
get my Whopper right.
No one got hurt. If there was an accident at an intersection because someone was running lights and sirens, now you got a story. But instead, you called your deputies when nothing else was going on because you couldn't get into the Burger King because they locked you out and you couldn't get your money back. And said, I just want their info so that I can file a complaint. He says that. He says that, not knowing that this is going to be footage that's going to get released later and become a big national news scandal. All he says is, all I want is the names of the employees and the owner so I can file a complaint.
Sure.
What?
Doesn't seem outrageous.
Just because I would take the L and drive off.
No, but you're a cuck.
Exactly. He's
not.
Sheriff.
He's a
that's
sheriff.
How he got to where he is.
Well, he's not a cuck.
You don't just take the L on things like that.
No. You get the Whopper right.
So get
and
him on the show.
This wouldn't be a story if the Whopper was done right.
That's
how this would not be a story.
Pretty important part of the story.
You're talking about how I do my job. What about the guy who made the burger?
Yeah.
Why don't we talk about how he did his job? Because you know what? It wasn't very good.
Yep.
Was not very good.
She had an allergy. So
she could have died. Yeah, right. She's allergic to it.
I mean, she's
you know how bad allergies can be.
So don't.
You're just reading a pamphlet about how to take Flonase.
That's true.
Took you 20 minutes before you tried it.
That's true.
Never seen anyone read the instructions on
obviously, allergies are important.
Take over the counter medicine. Conan, it's pretty funny. You had a big piece of paper.
He
and you
was reading it. I've never seen it before.
I was like, what is he doing?
He's putting together a model.
That's what it looked like.
I was more reading, like, how often can I use it? Can I do it more than once a day? That's what I was checking.
It was funny. It was funny, SoCon.
Yeah, they really get paid for this.
You believe this shit?
The Church of Laszlo.
Amen, brother.
98.9 The Rock.
So this woman on a Frontier flight from Vegas to San Diego or San Diego to Vegas, I don't remember which. What does it matter? The point is, she forgot her phone. She lost her phone, and she says, I need to go back into the gate there. I lost my phone. And they tell her, hey, you know what, ma'am? Cabin door's closed. Sit down. Shut up.
Okay.
Can't go get your phone. I don't know if they said sit down, shut up, but she couldn't go get her phone. Can't just open the door again. I know those rules. Once that door's closed, the only way you can get off that plane is if you have a serious medical emergency or if you're getting arrested. Right? Like, I've always thought when they close the door, okay, now what are my options if I decide I don't want to do this anymore?
Right.
And there's that point, especially when the plane starts to back up, where you go, if I decide now I don't want to fly
to
Europe or whatever, I got to say I'm dying or I got to throw a fit and have them kick me off the flight, which then I get arrested. So faking a heart attack is probably the best.
Really. Like, oh my God, what's up?
Yeah.
My heart.
And just act like you're passed out.
I don't even
out.
Think you have to do all that. You just be like, what, you know.
Yeah.
My heart's pounding. What's going on?
Yeah. They'll get you.
I'm having a heart attack.
If they're still on the ground, they'll take you back, and you're fine. And then the medics come, and, you know, they don't know that you're faking it. It's a medical mystery to them. I mean, Snowcone was a one of those guys, whatever they're called. So, you know, they're not necessarily...
Right?
Geniuses.
Yeah,
well, you know what I mean. Like, you weren't a doctor.
I was an EMTB. I wasn't
You were
anything.
An EMTB, that's right, which is who comes to get you up there. Yeah.
No, there's B, I, and then paramedic.
What's I?
Intermediate, I want to say.
What's B?
Basic, I think.
Basic
medicine?
Bitch mode. So this lady says, look, I want my phone back. Now, at first, it's like, no, you can't have your phone, and you need to sit down, because that's the way it is. I'm sorry you lost your phone. But if they'd known who this woman was, I think they probably would have changed their tone a little bit. Because it turns out this lady is pretty important. Pretty important. She rules countries. She rules part of a continent. She can have your ass shipped overseas.
Bigger than a sheriff?
Oh, way bigger than a sheriff. Way bigger.
If I was white in a suit, you would stop the plane. Laugh now. I am the president of this whole country. That's a damn bona fide.
You're the president of a country?
I'm the president of this whole country.
What country?
I guess the country of people on this Frontier flight.
What country? What is?
Maybe it's the United States, but I think she meant maybe this
where
flight.
Where was the plane? Where
well, they
were
saying they were San Diego to Vegas, or yeah, San Diego to Vegas.
Is that
she's
O'Hare?
In San Diego. Well, it didn't look like her, but I don't know. And she does say you can laugh because which you know she says if I had a suit on and I was white, you'd let me go get my phone, right? And then she starts saying some things. People start to laugh at her. And when they start to laugh at her, that's when she goes, oh, laugh all you want.
I'm the president
of this whole thing.
If I was white in a suit, you would stop the plane. Laugh now. I am the president of this whole country. That's a damn bona fide word. Yes, I need to get off this plane. And I'm going to tell you straight up, don't you ever come against nobody because of their skin color again. You had enough time. I seen Frontier do illegal stuff several times.
Okay. As soon as she says, don't come after me for my skin color, that's, in that moment, I'm like, you're right. As a white guy, I'm like, oh, whoa. Who said anything about color here?
At the point that she says, now they are in San Diego, and she says, I'm the president of this country?
This whole country, yeah.
Well, yeah, at that point, I'm not really into politics.
Right.
But the president is Joe Biden.
Well, I don't know. Maybe she means the airplane.
And she said this whole country.
Yeah, maybe she misspoke.
I think she's
can laugh all you want.
Making up stuff.
You can laugh all you want, Laszlo. Why would you think that? Because she's black?
Yeah.
Oh, that. Well, nice going. As soon as they start saying something about race, just open the door. Just open the door. If you're a white woman, white man, and that gets brought up, just go ahead and open the door.
Yes, I need to get off this plane. And I'm going to tell you straight up, don't you ever come against nobody because of their skin color again. You had enough time. I seen Frontier do illegal stuff several times. I've been riding you for the last 8 years. Don't tell me. You had enough time to stop that telepilot to not go. You just released him from the bank. I saw it out the window. I know it within my heart. I am an affirmed sovereign ruler here in the government.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Oh, she's a sovereign citizen.
A sovereign ruler.
In the seven continents. Hold on. I am an affirmed sovereign ruler here in the government. Seven continents I own. What comes around goes around. This time now. Keep laughing. Watch what happened. You'll be expired just like your battery on your watch.
Expired. You'll be expired just like the battery on your watch. I like that.
What does that mean?
I don't know. She says,
does your battery on your watch expire?
Well, I guess it can go dead. It can die. You know, maybe.
Oh, expired in that sense.
Yeah, it's dead.
I thought it meant like bad, like, you know, cottage cheese.
Yeah,
bad.
Smells. Is that the battery on your watch? I think it's turned. She owns seven continents. Seven. That's a lot. How many continents are there, Big
That's
Brains?
That's all of them.
That's all of them?
That's it.
You should
Wait,
not
she
eight.
Said she's a sovereign seven. Citizen on all eight of them?
She said she owns seven continents. She owns.
Owns all seven of them?
Seven continents I own, she says. And then she says, keep laughing, because people started laughing at her when she said that, which would not have been my reaction. Not mine. Well, she says I own seven continents. I'd be like, I don't know how many there are. I thought there were eight, but there's a good chance, even if there are eight, that I'm on one that she owns.
Seven is correct.
But she says, keep laughing, watch your ass be right on a boat.
What does that mean?
I guess she's going to send you to another continent. She'll put you on a boat and send your ass to another continent. She said, we're shipping people out just for a nice group expedition. What comes around goes around. It's time now.
Who's she talking to?
Keep everyone
no one's
in the cabin.
Ever put people on a boat and ship them to a different country.
Keep laughing. Watch what happens. Ridiculous. You'll be expired just like the battery on your watch. Huh. Now, you guys can laugh all you want, but I'm thinking if you do want them to open the door and go get your phone, this had to have worked, right? It had to have worked. And what are you going to do? Arrest her for what? Being successful? Owning seven continents? That's not a crime?
No, it's not.
Tell you this, all joking aside, if that plane took off without getting that lady off the plane, I would be very upset. I'm not saying that's a long flight. I get it. But still.
How far was it?
I think it was San Diego to Vegas, so it's short. But still, you don't need to be locked in a. If we got a chance, if we already know this person behaves like this, and we're on the ground, get them off the flight.
It does take some getting used to.
The Church of Laszlo.
Okay, everybody just calm down.
On 98.9 The Rock.
Yo, are we done?
That's it, my man.
Great.
That's it.
That was a really good show.
That's it. We're done. I
appreciate it.
I hope Jerry Jones isn't upset.
Good show to him, by the way. Stay positive, kids.
The Church of Laszlo.
The Church of Laszlo. On 98.9 The Rock. The Rock.